it? Do you feel it? Do you feel it? Is it in your soul that your God is worthy? Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Glory, 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 glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. We worship you.
Hallelujah.
You're in the midst of the praises of your people. Your glory is amongst us. Your glory is amongst us. Your glory, your glory. Hallelujah. My, my, my. Tell your neighbor, it's good to be in the house of God. Tell somebody, I'm glad you came. Woo! My, my, my. One more time, put your hands together for Jesus. How we love you, Lord. How we love you. How we love you, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen, amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse number 4 and 5. We welcome everyone that is here. Let me hear the men say, hallelujah! At men's conference Thursday, Friday, and Saturday morning. Come on, men. What a great time we had. Some incredible, incredible preaching. We'll be making those CDs available from men's conference to all of that are here. I encourage the wives of those men that went to men's conference. I encourage the wives to listen to those CDs and hold those men accountable to the Word of God. Ooh, I just made an enemy of all my men. We had an awesome time. Great preaching from Brother Graham. Great preaching from Brother Easter. Powerful word, powerful word. We are excited to be carry that spirit, carry that victory back into the house of God today. I'm looking forward to seeing someone baptized in Jesus' name. How about you? We got a baptistry hot and warm, ready to go. No greater experience you'll ever have than when you go down in the name of Jesus. Someone says, well, Pastor, have I already been baptized? Titles, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I was baptized 3 times in the titles. Not really sure why, but just 3 different moves of my life. But I want to tell you, when I went down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins, it was done and over. You know when you come out of that water in his name, the power of the blood and the power of the name that comes upon you. Encourage you to do it. Anybody been buried in the name of Jesus here today? We welcome all of our guests that are with us. Sister Howell, where are you? Sister Howell, right here. Where's my sister? Right that walked in. Which one? Right there. Just a walk in. God bless you. I don't have your name, sweetie, but we're so thankful you're with us. And we pray the Lord touch you and bless you mightily today. We all come hungry to the house of God, don't we? We come hungry. The Hodges family, did I get that right? Is it Hodges? I think y'all moved down from up north somewhere from cold weather to God's country here in South Florida. Good to have you and your lovely family with us. God bless you. All of our guests that are here, we're just so thankful that you have come. Let's read the word of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4. The word of God says, let's just read it out together. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Let's read that again. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. One more time with all your might. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. My, my, my. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine soul and with all of thy might. Let's put our Bibles down. Let's pray and ask God to have his way here today. Lord, we pray you would open up our minds to understand, our hearts to receive the word of God, our ears to hear. Lord, speak to us today. Stir us up, God, as we walk with you. Oh, let the hunger be that we could walk just a little closer to you today. As we understand you, let our hunger be that we might understand you just a little more today. We pray, God, let your word unfold before us and bless us with your power, with your mercy and your grace. We ask it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. I want you to turn to two or three people and tell them there's only one God and you need him. All right, that's good enough. One more time before you seat it. The Bible says, clap your hands, all your people. Hallelujah. Shout with a voice of triumph. I wonder if there's triumph in the house. I wonder if there's some victory in the house. Hallelujah. Lord bless you. You may be seated. I'm only going to hold our attention here today for a few moments. So I pray that you will engage into the word of God and that we will grasp from what the word of God has to say to us today. It is my prayer that if you are here and you have never been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you've never been buried in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, on your Christian journey, while you are walking and talking and serving God, I pray that today the Lord will help lift you into a greater dimension, and you will receive today of his spirit and receive today of his name. It is our prayer that God does these wonders for you. Our theme this year has been evangelism, not so much as in having revivals, as it is that each and every one of us is an evangelist in the kingdom of God. God has called every one of us. Tell your neighbor, God has called you. God has called me. God has called you to be fruitful. We studied about bearing fruit, bearing much fruit, bearing fruit that remains. We studied and talked about remaining connected to the vine and how important it is to allow that source to flow through us. We studied in the Word of God and learned that we need to have a passion for the lost, to love the lost, to go to bed with them on our mind, to get up with him on our mind. God, who can I talk to today? Where can you lead me today? But Wednesday night, I wish the whole Sunday crowd was in church on Wednesday night. You should have got a link to Wednesday night's message in the daily devotion. If you're not receiving the daily devotion, please text or write down your email and your name and give it to Pastor. I'll make sure you get on the list. But in that daily devotion was a link to Wednesday night's message. If you wasn't here and you didn't get it through the devotion, then I encourage you, go online to the Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches and go to the sermons and listen to the message. If you don't have time to do that, then get with an usher and request a CD. But I'm asking you today to link up with what God is saying to the church, the direction that God is leading us and guiding us. We began Wednesday night that if you're going to have a passion for souls, you also need to have a knowledge of the Word of God. The Word tells us that you and I should be ready at any time to give an answer to any man when they ask you or I about the hope that dwells in us. I don't want someone to see me and know that I've been
redeemed and know that I'm walking with God because I'm separated. I'm living the life. But when they come up, when they ask about it, I don't know what to say, how to say it. I haven't learned it. It's not in my heart. Oh, apostolics, let's get the word of God deep down inside of our hearts, and let's be ready to give an answer when men ask. And so today we're going to launch just for a moment upon one of these powerful doctrines in the Word of God. We live in a religious world today, as I told my Wednesday night crowd, that the word doctrine is a Christian cuss word today. When you get out into the world, the religious world, we don't want doctrine. Let's just love one another and love Jesus. I've got news for you. Love is a doctrine. And it's a doctrine you better get. Paul the apostle told Timothy, he said, preach the word of God. Teach the doctrine whereby you and those that hear you shall be saved. There was no greater doctrinal teacher than Jesus Christ himself. What is doctrine? Doctrine are the foundational teachings of the word of God. If you do not know them and understand them, then you will be blown, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes along. But if you get in that book and you learn the word of God and you get it in your heart, then it doesn't matter what wind of doctrine may blow, what fad of religion comes by, what false doctrine comes your way. It will not move you. It will not sway you, because I've been founded, I've been grounded on the word of God. Woo. Everybody say one God. Now, obviously, I don't have time today to go into any great detail on this subject. But I do want to launch from a little foundation. And I want to end up today in a different angle, a different perception, if you please, of the importance of understanding that there's only one God. And the Bible tells us, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is. Isaiah 43 and tells us, Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Somebody shout one. Shout one. Isaiah 44 and 6, Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no. He says in Isaiah 9 and 6, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called, say it with me, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Who is this that Isaiah is talking about in Isaiah 9 and 6? Timothy tells us, or Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 3:16, And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit. He was seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. I wish somebody would clap your hands. this child that was born, this God manifested in the flesh, that flesh died, resurrected, gave his life on the cross, shed his blood for you and I. But in his resurrected form, he said in Revelations 1 and 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come. Come on, somebody. Verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience in Jesus Christ, was on the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha, I am Omega, I am the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book. Come on, somebody. Shout one God. Shout his name is Jesus. Can we worship him together just for a moment? Tell your neighbor you need to choose this one God. 1 Kings 18 and 21. And Elijah came out of all the people and said, how long will thou halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God. If there's only one God and the Lord is him. If there's no God beside him, no God before him, no God after him, the Bible says he tread the winepress alone. He walks upon the face of the water all by himself. He said, I searched for another, but I could not find him. I am God and God alone. Then somebody tell me today, if he is that one God, if there is none other, why are you halted between two opinions? And then Elijah went on to say, I'll tell you what, here's your two choices, the devil or God. You know, all this other stuff that you think is in between. No, sir, it's not. You either choose him or you choose him. I said you either choose him or you choose him. There's nothing halfway. There is no straddling the fence. I don't like it when you get weak on me. It makes me feel you're guilty. Are there any apostolics in the house? Is there anybody serving him with all your heart, all your might, all your strength? Because there's only one. We preach it all the time. Get off the fence. I got news for you. There isn't one. There is no such thing as one foot in the world and one foot in the church. When you got one foot in the world and you think you have one foot in the church, as far as he's concerned, you're just in the world. Because he said, come out from among them and be you separate. Then will I receive you unto myself. Not while you've got one foot in the world. Not while you're trying to make up your mind. Not while you're playing with the things of the world. Not while you're loving the things of the... You got to come out. 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 You got to serve that one God. You got to serve that one God. You got to put him over your wants. I want all my young people to stand up. You look a little dead today. If you're 35 and under in this area, stand up. Put your hands together. You look a little dead to me today. You're scaring me. Used to be pastor preached like this, y'all be down here in this altar shouting and dancing and praising God. Don't you get lukewarm on me. Don't you get cold on me. Tell your neighbor, don't you get cold on pastor. Tell him one next to you, don't get cold on pastor. I love our youth. They're awesome. Clap your hands to the Lord again one more time. We got to stir this thing back up. We got to get back on fire for God. I refuse to let my children in attitude to be a second generation Pentecost. You remember when somebody preached, somebody told me who his name was. He came here and he preached the difference between first and second generation. Brother Jackson, what a powerful message. He talked about that the first generation, we need them because they show us how to praise. This isn't my message, but I'm going to stay here a little bit. It's fresh and new to them. So they come to the, dear Lord, I must not have any first generations. I couldn't tell. I'm kidding, I love you. You know that. Hey, you look just like the second and third generation. Forgive me though for a moment. I must have lost my first generation. Because my first generation used to be down in this altar. Preacher, 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 preacher. Where's my hanky? Huh? Where's my hanky? Grab my hanky. Move it, move it, move it. Arm and bear. Huh? Yeah. Preach it, preacher. Preach it, preacher. Look at your neighbor and say, look at your neighbor and say, he's about to hurt me. Mm-hmm. Preacher, preacher. Preacher. Listen, I've watched men get up. I've heard men get up and preach false doctrine. False doctrine. Foolishness. And I've watched people run out of their chairs. Those shiny shoes. Don't touch my shoes. That's not my point. My point is they were engaged in something that will never save them. Never deliver them. Allow them to stay in their flesh, walk in their carnality. But they were excited about it. I don't care if it was emotional. What do you think this is? Pastor gets up, preaches one of the most dynamic oneness messages you ever heard in your life. And all you do is look at me. This is a revelation that the world must have. But it looks like we need to get it first. I'm telling you, when it comes to the preached word of God, that's when we ought to be crazy. That's when we ought to be running. That's when we ought to be shouting. Nothing like the word of God. Nothing like this truth. Nothing like this power. It brought you out of darkness. It put you in the marvelous light. It took you out of a life of sin. All right, you can be seated. Soft pansy preaching didn't save you. Compromising the word of God didn't bring you out of darkness. Truth brought you out of darkness. Preaching that, though preached in love, will not compromise no matter who it offends. Listen, I'm going to tell you kind of preaching it is. We had a billionaire, not a millionaire, a billionaire started attending our door to work. His offering was $1,000 every time he showed up. He just wrote a $1,000 check.
He called the preacher and he said, hey, my wife, well, it wasn't his wife, this is live-in. My partner, I think it's what the world says, wants to know, how do we pay our tithes? We want to bless the church. In fact, we're going to help you build a church. We're going to build a church here. This place needs a church. We're going to build a church. Wasn't but a few weeks later. Not ugly, not mean, just truth. Truth comes across the pulpit. Phone gets picked up. Are you telling me y'all believe such and such? And my pastor, our pastor there of the one of our daughter works, he gave him a beautiful, perfect explanation from the Word of God without compromising in the least offensive way you can. So he said, well, looks like we won't be coming back. Do you think his next response was, now hold on now. Hold on, we can change that. We can compromise that. You know, we just won't ever mention it again in the pulpit. We'll figure another way to say it and another method. And you don't have to leave us. You know, we need your money and we need your presence and your attention. And why don't you just let us compromise a little bit? I don't think that was his response. He said, brother, we love you. But what I've just told you is truth from the Word of God. And we will never compromise the Word of God. 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 Somebody say it with me. We will never compromise the Word of God. Say it. We will never compromise the Word of God. Say it. We will never compromise the Word of God. Everybody be quiet. Young people, stand to your feet. And I want you to holler that as loud as you can.
We will never compromise the Word of God.
Say it again.
We will never compromise the Word of God.
Say it like you're in a rock concert.
We will never compromise the Word of God.
Now, how would you know how to say that? Put your hands together. God's raising up preachers. Elijah said, I am not compromising this thing, but I will tell you this. Today, you need to make a choice. Will you serve this one God, or will you give your life to the devil? I believe it was Joshua who said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve. Is there anybody here today who's going to serve that one God? Is there anybody here today who's going to praise that one God? You be seated. I want to try to wrap this up here. Listen, I want to let you know today, if you are under my voice, I want you to hear that everything that really matters in this world, the only place you will ever get it is from that one God. You can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have peace, what does it really matter? You can have all the popularity in the world, but if you don't have joy, what does it really matter? You can have everything the world offers to you, all of its pleasures, but if the love of God does not abide in your heart, and there's no peace in your spirit, and there's no joy in your spirit and in your emotions, you're just miserable. Paul the Apostle said, if we've got hope in Christ in this world only, we are men most miserable. I want to tell you, there's more to God than what goes on right here on this planet. God is preparing us for eternal life. We got to get our eyes off the things of this world and get our eyes back on Him. He's the only one. There is no other. There's only one throne. John said a window opened up in heaven and I beheld one throne and one sat upon that throne.
The only God you and I will ever know is Jesus Christ. You be seated. You start letting other gods in. You'll get all confused. You will fall in love with the things of this world. There's all kinds of gods of the world. They can give you temporarily pleasure. The Bible says that the pleasures of sin, it talks about the pleasures of sin, which are but for a... The Bible doesn't say there isn't pleasure in the world. It just says it's a season. And when sin, when temptation comes, it brings sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth. But this one God I'm talking to you about, he has the answer to every dilemma. He has the answer to every pain. He has the answer to every sorrow. He has the answer to every one of your difficulties. He is the answer to every one of your questions. He is the light in your darkest tunnel. He is the peace in your greatest fear. He is your strength in your most powerful weakness. Come on, somebody. He's the love that dwells in you when hatred tries to come forth. He's the one that lets you give when greed tries to get a hold of your heart. He's the one that helps you pray when you've been done wrong and you've been persecuted. That doesn't come from the world. That doesn't come from the devil. Choose this day whom thou wilt serve. You desire to be able to lay your head down at night and have peace in your heart. If you desire to have a marriage that's not just a success, but is beautiful and wonderful, and your spouse is your best friend, then friend, you're going to have to get God in the middle of that. If you want kids that are going to serve God, you're going to have to get God in the middle of that. Because if you let the other one get in, choose this day who you're going to serve. Because if you let the other one in, the result's going to be greed, bitterness, divorce, pain, suffering, sorrow, heartache, depression, and darkness. But if you'll let God in, oh yeah. Be seated. Now, you know, pastor teaches that serving God doesn't mean you're going to have a perfect life. And it certainly means you're not going to be a perfect person. How many of y'all have gotten mad already today about something? Come on, be honest. Boy, I have a great church. I'm amazed at how wonderful you people are. I really am, by the way. You are awesome. Serving God doesn't make me or you perfect. And it certainly means doesn't mean that we're going to have perfect life. Remember, we've already taught this. The same afflictions that are upon the children of the world or upon God's kids as well. It's not that we're not going to face things. It's how we handle them that makes the difference. And God gives us the power and the ability to respond properly. And many times, proper response will bring an end. That's why the Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. Now, if I answer in anger, I'm going to get anger. Anger is probably one of the greatest weaknesses of your pastor.
I'm an extremely emotional person. So when I get mad very quickly. However, I forget very quickly. Sometimes in the middle of the argument, I forget why I'm mad at you. I just kind of look at you and stop and go, I sure do love you. I thank God for that. It helps me sleep at night. I forget when I do people wrong. All right, I'm going to get sidetracked here in a second, and I don't want to lose my thought. One God. Somebody remind me over there, I'm actually preaching about one God. But it is that one God that comes into my life and comes into your life that gives you power to overcome the weaknesses. And it is that one God that can turn events in your life. It was him who said, I will take everything that happens to you, whom the devil meant for evil, whom man meant for evil, whom the world meant for evil. I will take it and I will make it good in your life. That's that one God I'm talking about. You know, sometimes we'll say to ourselves, I don't know how God's going to make this good. You just hang in there for a little while longer, and you'll see what God is able to do in your life. You keep loving your enemy, and one day your enemy's going to come knock on your door, and they're going to say, I need help. I need prayer. I need somebody to reach out. My kid's in trouble. My marriage is in trouble. And if you'll just keep loving them and keep praying for them, and let that one God work through you. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's one God, and you need him. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. I'm going to run through this. Stay with me. Music, get ready. Don't come up yet, but I just got to let the people know I might be thinking about finishing. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. But God commendeth, everybody say, his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I need this one God. Why? Because I need his love. I need his love. Look at Romans 5 and 5. How do I get that love? And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I need this one God. I need his spirit in my life, because it's the only way to get God's love. The love that can forgive when you're done wrong. The love that will love when you're hated. The love that will love when you're done wrong. Come on, somebody. The love that will never quit, never end, never stop. I got to have that love in me. That's not the world's love. That's not the love of the devil. That's the love of God. Somebody say peace. Now look at this. Now the God of peace. Who has peace? Who has peace? God has peace. And if I'm going to have peace in my heart, I must have that God. There is only one God, and only his peace will satisfy us. Look at this. Look at Corinthians 14 and 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, if there's confusion in your mind, confusion in your spirit, if there's anger and hatred and things going on, what you need is the peace of God. And you get that peace through the power of God by receiving the Spirit. There's only one God, and I need him, because without him I cannot have peace. Ask your neighbor if they want peace. Ask them, would you like to have peace? You cannot have peace without God. Look at John 14 and 27. Listen to this. Peace I leave you,
My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God said, I haven't come to give you peace like the world gives you, because the world will give you peace today, but they'll take it tomorrow. Huh? The devil, he'll let you have peace today, but he'll find a way to rob it from you tomorrow. And then he'll teach you how to blame your neighbor for it, or how to blame your spouse for it, or how to blame somebody else for it, or how to blame God for it, or the government, or the world, that you lost your peace. No, you never really had peace. You had the world's peace. It comes and goes. But Jesus said, I'll leave you my peace. And it'll never leave you. It'll always be with you. It'll always abide with you. And no matter what you're going through, and no matter what you're facing, the peace of God will rest upon you. Why do you think the children of God can lay down on a deathbed and say, that's okay, honey? Have you ever been next to somebody dying without peace? It's horrible. You look into their eyes, and there is more fear and confusion in their eyes than you will ever see anywhere else. They are dying without peace. I have watched men and women die without peace. I was in the hospital room one time, this precious young lady, and she had two children. She was dying of cancer. We had worked with her. We had prayed with her and over the years, and we had talked to her about God and needing God and being in the church, and she'd visit every once in a while, but she just loved that old world. She loved the things of the world. And here we are in the hospital room with her, and she's dying, and she would sit up in the bed and she would scream, I don't want to die. And I'd stand there and hold her hand, and I'd say, come on, so-and-so, let's pray, let's talk to God. And she'd just look at me with fear in her eyes, and then she'd sit back up and scream, I don't want to die. She only did that a few times, and she laid down, and her head went to the side, and she gave up the ghost, died in fear. Why? Because only God can give you peace. The kind of peace that no matter what you're facing, no matter what is in your life, no matter what you're going through, no matter how horrible it is, no matter how terrible it is, there's a peace on the inside of you that says it's going to be okay. God's not going to let me down. It's going to be all right. I'm telling you, you can get that peace today. You can have that peace today. God will give it to you. That one God I'm talking about, you can receive that peace through him. But it'll never happen as long as you're seeking many gods. See, this all wraps around one God. You thought I was talking about just one God in heaven. Oh, no, no, no. I'm talking about just one God in your life. Now turn to your neighbor and say, there's only one God for me, and I need him. Huh? He's the peace. He's the joy. Paul tells us in Romans, he's the God of peace. And I love this verse. I love this verse in Romans 16 and 20, and I'm going to try to wrap this up in a little bit. And the God of peace, look at this, shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Paul said, hold on. Paul said, tie a knot in the rope. Hold on tight. He said, just hold on, because the God of peace is going to bruise the head of Satan under your feet, and he's going to do it sharply. He's the God of hope. Romans 15 and 13. Now the God of hope. Everybody say the God of hope. Tell your neighbor, if you're going to have hope, you need this God. Now the God of hope. Look at this. Fill you with what? All joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You mean I get my peace and my hope in the Holy Ghost? You certainly do, because the Holy Ghost is God. It is the Spirit of God that comes and abides in your life. And when the Spirit of God comes and abides in your life, He flows out of you through the form of peace and through the form of joy. Everybody say the God of hope. I want to move on. Stay with me. Say the God of mercy. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of the God that shows mercy. It's not of him who has the greatest willpower. You hear me? It's not of him who can run the swiftest. But I'm here to tell you the reason why you and I are still serving God is because he's merciful. It's not because I'm great. It's not because I'm so strong. It's not because my willpower is so incredible. It's not because I run so fast. No, it's because every day I go to the only God who can give me mercy. I kneel before the only God who can help me. And I say, oh God, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me, oh God. Forgive me of my attitude. Forgive me of my thoughts. Forgive me of my deeds. Have mercy upon me, oh God. I'm telling you, you need him. Don't leave without him today. Let's stand to our feet. Music, come. Don't leave without this God today. There ought to be something inside of you saying, I need this God. There's only one God for me. There's only one God for me. It's the God that'll give me peace. It's the God that'll give me joy. It's the God that'll give me strength. It's the God that'll give me hope. Somebody shout, there's only one God for me. So there's only one God in heaven. And there's only one God for me. And today, I choose. Because I'm tired of torment. I'm tired of being troubled in my spirit. I'm tired of walking around as though there's no hope. I'm tired of having that feeling that there's no answer. Listen. I don't know what your home's like. Mom. I don't know what you're facing in your kids. We live in a troubled world. Don't give up hope. Let the God of hope touch you today. I don't know what's going on in your body. Let the God of peace touch you today. He's the God of healing. He's the God of mercy. He said, he that covereth his sins, listen, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Were you listening? But whosoever confesseth and forsake them shall find mercy. They drug her and they threw her at his feet. She laid at his feet weeping. Woman, where are thine accusers? She lifts her head and looks around. I love that. Because Jesus was still in her midst. Huh? He said, woman, where are thine accusers? From the very start, he excluded himself from accusation. Where are thine accusers? I don't see any. Lord, they've all left. Neither do I.
condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He that confesses sins and forsakes them shall find mercy. He's the God of mercy. Ephesians 2 and 8. He's the God of grace. For by grace are you saved, through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not who runs the fastest or whose will is the strongest. It's the mercy and the love of God. It's why we're here today. But Paul said in Galatians, I want you to hear this, I do not frustrate the grace of God. So I receive his grace, but I will not frustrate it. How do you frustrate the grace of God? By asking for mercy, by receiving his grace, and continuing in your sin. You frustrate his grace. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. I am preached the law that I might receive knowledge of what sin is. Paul the apostle said, is the law evil? God forbid. He said, if it wasn't for the law, I wouldn't know I was sinning. And if I didn't know I was sinning, I wouldn't be able to repent. And if I couldn't repent, I couldn't receive the mercy of God. Moreover, the law entered that offense might abound. But where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Somebody say, I need this God. You see, he's the God of love. He's the God of peace. He's the God of joy. He's the God of mercy. He's the God of grace. I need this God. I've got to have him. Everything you've talked about today, Pastor, it surrounds my life. The trouble, the heartache, the pain, the confusion, the fear, the doubt, all the things that surround me, everything that's in this God, I need this God. Galatians tells us, who hath himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. He is the God of deliverance. Deuteronomy says he's the God of refuge. Hebrews says he's my help, a very present help in trouble. And Corinthians tells me he's faithful. He's faithful. Don't you hear? Don't you hear? Every eye closed, every mind on God. Can't you hear him? Can't you feel him in your heart? Can't you feel him? Come on, mama. Come on. Come on, dad. Come on, young man, young lady. Come on, step out. Come on, single. You single young man, single young lady. Come on, come on. Single mother, single father. Come on, step out. Come on, you need this God. You need this God. You can't make it without him. I got to have him. There's only one God and I need him. There's only one God for me. I'm tired of the God of this world. I'm tired of the God of things. I'm tired of the God of pleasures. I'm tired of the God of monies. I'm tired of all of these gods who promised me so many different things. And they've all let me down. They've all failed me. I don't need them. I don't want them. They brought heartache. They brought pain. There's only one God for me. There's only one God for me. And the prophet said, choose this day, choose this day, choose this day. Are you going to serve the God of Belial? Are you going to serve the God of this world? The God that brings heartache and pain? The God that in the end brings death and then cometh the second death? Or are you going to choose the God that brings heartache and doubt and fear and all of these things to your life? Or today, 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 are you going to choose today? Are you going to stand and say today, or you're going to say to yourself, I'm going to choose that one God, that one God, the only one for me, the God that brings peace, the God that brings love,
the God that removes my doubts and my fears, the God who is a very present help right in the middle of my troubles, that when everything's going wrong, I'll feel him. Oh, yes. When the children have gone crazy, I'll still have his presence. Whoa, when my spouse has lost their mind, I'll still have his presence. Come, let the Lord fill you with his spirit. Come, let God touch you. Come, repent of your sins. Will you do that? Come talk to the Lord today. Come say, God, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Be merciful to me, oh God. Oh, you're the merciful God. You're the one I need. Love me, Lord. You're the God of love. You're the one I need. Have mercy upon me, Lord. You're the God of mercy. You're the God for me. You're the God for me. You're the only God in heaven, and you're the one for me. You're the one for me. I need you. I'm tired of the gods of this world. Gods that have no eyes, have no ears to hear, no arms to reach, no mouth to speak. Oh, I'm tired of those gods. All of their false promises. All of they let me down continually. God, I bring my heart to you. I wish you'd come, sir, ma'am. I wish you'd come. I wish today would be the day. I wish you'd finally make up in your mind today. Today, I choose that God. Today, I choose that God. Today, I choose that God. That one God. He's the only one for me. Because I need his love. I need his righteousness. I need his peace. I need his joy. Oh, yes. I need him. I need him. I need him. Talk to him. Come on, that's it. Talk to him. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. Come on, that's it. That's it. Come on, that's it. That's it. I need this one God. This is the God for me. Here I am, Jesus. Come on, give him all of your heart. Give him all of your heart. Open up your heart to him.
To follow Jesus.
Ask him for his spirit.